on any specific passage, but I am speaking perhaps more on a topic, on a one-word topic. But let me say, it's great to be here and in your presence. Yes, I was a student minister here many, many moons ago. In fact, so long ago, they called them catechists back in those days. I remember at the old church was the other bit over there, and this didn't even exist then. I always used to enjoy coming out from Moore College to here because it was amongst the gum trees, so to speak. You could get away from the urban sort of density, and it was always nice to come out and breathe fresh air. So I used to enjoy my trips to Asquith on those particular occasions. But it's always good to come back. Brian's an old friend. I thought I could get away with there being no Heaths here, but I noticed that there is one over there. So I have to be careful what I say. But I'm sure they're having a good time in summer school. I hope to get there tomorrow myself. I hope we have a good time here tonight. But let me pray first. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you love us. We thank you for your Son who you have given to us. We thank you for your Spirit who enlightens us. And we pray that that same Spirit would enlighten the darkness of our hearts so that we would truly reflect the glory and majesty of your great name. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me perhaps say, perhaps something provocative, not that provocative, but I might say that there is so much more that you could be doing for God. There is so much more that you could be doing for God. Now, I'm sure there are some of you that are doing a lot for God, but I'm sure there are some of you who perhaps could do some more for God. A new year, and that's great. 2015, all that. New resolutions tend to come in. And I thought, well, with a new year, there is always new opportunities. And so I thought, well, the topic on the big O, namely opportunity, wouldn't be a bad one to begin the new year. So that's why I've chosen this topic for tonight and sort of interrupted slightly the James series. Brian's happy for me to do this, so that's good. He's giving me the okay to do it. I don't know if you follow cricket or not, but there was a fellow the other day in the Australian cricket team called Joe Burns. And he was a debutant. He is a debutant test cricketer. And he, you might say that he was fighting for his place in the Australian cricket team. Now, that's a negative way of putting it, to say that he's fighting for his place in the team. You could say it another way. You could say it in a more positive way by saying that he has a wonderful opportunity to cement his place in the side. And the word opportunity is a good word. It's a positive word rather than a negative word. Think opportunity, and we think things like occasion, or we might think of things like possibility, or something that is timely. The language of opportunity goes like this. I just wrote a few of them down. You only get one chance to make an impression. That's the language of opportunity. Or it's now or never. Or the hour has come. Or make the most of the time. Or strike while the iron is hot. Or grab it with both hands. You get one shot, one chance, one opportunity. Opportunity speaks of being at the right place at the right time. Now, I'm sure you can think of opportunities gained, and I'm sure you can think of opportunities lost. They tend to fall into those categories. A month or so ago, I was down in the city. I was walking amongst the botanical gardens down by the foreshore. I was on the grassy slope, and I noticed a building in the centre there, and I was a bit inquisitive. I went up to the building, and I noticed that it was Government House. I didn't know that Government House was there. And I thought to myself, I looked in, there was a a little entry there, entrance, and it said that there was a free tour going on for an hour, and I thought, oh, will I or won't I? I don't know if I could be bothered. I don't have all that much time. But I ended up saying, okay, I'll go in. And I'm glad I did, because me going into there is pretty rare. I'm not likely to do that again. I wasn't going to go out of my way to do it. I'm rarely in the city, but I'm glad I took that opportunity to go in there. And it was good. I quite enjoyed it. Opportunities gained require some sacrifice. The door is ajar, or it might have opportunity written on it. But you have to actually get out of your comfortable bed, and you've actually got to get energized to go through it. Or, for example, advertisements speak of job opportunities, but you have to make an effort to apply, don't you? You've got to do your CV and all that sort of stuff, and so it just doesn't fall upon you. The opportunity is there, but you have to make the effort to do something about it. Opportunities lost tend to be around those who say, I can't be bothered, or I don't feel like it today, or, well, it's too cold, I don't want to go, it's too hot, it's too windy, it's too far, or the time, it's not convenient for me. Opportunities lost are often at the feet of the lazy or the ill-disciplined or the excuse makers. But of course, not always. Some opportunities are lost because of ill health or age or our personality or the circumstances beset around us. There are plenty of instances, for example, where bright, intelligent sons during the time of the war left school prematurely to get a job to look after their family. For them, opportunity of a greater education and perhaps university as well and greater prospects was denied them because of the circumstances in which presented themselves. So then we might say that opportunity is seasonal, not always there to be had. Yes, there are. There can be lost opportunities in career, sport, education, or an even greater service for God. So we might say then, don't miss the ferry, especially the last one out of town. For when all the services are closed, you are just left stranded. I can tell you that's true. I missed the last ferry when I was coming back from Sydney one night. And I was stranded. I was trying to get back to Ermington. It was a pain. But if you miss the last ferry, you're in strife. Now, of course, God opportunities abound. And I guess the challenge I want to present to you tonight is, are you taking them? Are you taking them? To be, for example, in a Bible study group. To be, for example, in a training of evangelism group. Are you taking the opportunities that no doubt your church presents to you during the course of the year? Prayed in the prayers that the Lord would open more opportunities for us. Those opportunities will be there for you this year in various ways. Perhaps to help in music, perhaps to help in follow-up, perhaps to provide hospitality or to be involved in areas where you can use your gifts. Within any church, there are always opportunities for you to be involved in ministry of some sort or another. You just have to make yourself available. And rather than having the pastor or Brian or someone have to sort of hunt you out, why don't you go up to him and say, hey, how can I be of greater service for you this year? I really want to help out. How can I do that? He'd say, fantastic, I'm glad you came up. Rather than him having to seek people out all the time. Of course, there are other opportunities to be involved in. God opportunities are not just found within church, within the confines of the church plant, so to speak, or on church rosters. In your own street, there will also be opportunities for you to befriend a few in the street, or to do some kind deed for the benefit of a neighbour, or to stand alongside someone who is in a difficult situation or who is oppressed, to stand alongside them in the name of Christ. You see, you are where you are. You live where you are because God has placed you there. You could be living somewhere else or something like that, but God hasn't put you there. If we believe in the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, you are where you are because He has placed you there as His representative for gospel opportunities. You are, if you like, the pastor of your street, you might say. You might think of it in those sorts of terms. Now, some things give you obvious opportunities. Others require that you be more sensitive to God-given situations as they come up. Take Nehemiah, for example. He's there in the Old Testament. He was an expat Jew working in Persia. And he heard that his ancestral city, Jerusalem, was in a mess, that it was in tatters. And when he heard about that, he was distraught about it, overcome with grief, and he prayed to God about that particular matter. And then in quite an unpredictable way, he was given opportunity to go and rebuild the city. And in obedience to God, he went. He was obedient to God in a God-given providential situation. He went, and his name has been written in biblical history as the one who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. And some parts of that wall are still visible today. Now you can read about that just in Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2. See, as we pray about situations like Nehemiah did, and as we let God's word shape us like Nehemiah did, we become more aware, as it were, sensitive to God-given opportunities, which more often than not come out of the blue rather than are planned, which will require us at times to drop everything and to seize the moment, as it were. Yes, it will interrupt your routine. It might interrupt that thing you had planned to be doing or something like that. When St. Paul says, for example, today is the day of salvation, that is an opportune moment. One is to seize that moment when he says that, to make it your own. Salvation has its time frame in today. Only in today. Not tomorrow. Not then. When it'll be too late. You take it here and now or you miss out. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How many opportunities have been lost, I wonder? When people have heard that message, have heard the opportunity to become a Christian and said, oh, not now. Let me wait a few years or something like that. But then they did not seize the moment. They lost that moment of opportunity. It has bypassed them and it may not come before them in the future. Who knows? It only comes in the today. Such an opportunity neglected is an opportunity we would call as being lost. The moment is now. There is an urgent summons to embrace the favour of God. Let today happen for you. You can salvage the mess of a damaged life today. You can make repairs today. We speak of opportune time, don't we? That is to say, a window of opportunity, which refers to a certain time frame in which to act, whereby it's viewed as an occasion rather than an extent of time. And so opportunity as an occasion is a brevity of time. It's a period. It's a moment to do something. So, for example, Francis Xavier coined the Jesuit motto when he said, give me a child until he is seven and I will give you the man. By that he meant, and it's sort of been proven now, that the first 5 to 7 years of a child are the most formative years of the child. The brain is developing, it's plastic and so forth. And so there and then is the time to invest, if you like. So young parents, for example, make the most of the opportunity for those limited years. Yes, it's demanding, that's sure, but they are the days to invest in. Grandparents, on the other hand, take every opportunity you get when you have the grandkids in your company to mould their brains for Christ if their parents aren't doing it. Yeah, there's always opportunities. Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And Philippians 4, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." But given now that they did have an opportunity, they then did something. We might speak of opportunity in terms as the time to strike, in terms of being strategic. Now, the devil was like that, tried to be like that with Jesus. Within the temptation narratives, for example, St. Luke describes how the devil, having been refuted by Jesus, then departed from him until an opportune time. Later on in the same gospel, there's the description of Satan entering Judas Iscariot, who does a deal with the authorities to betray Jesus. And then in Luke 22:6, it reads that he sought an opportunity, that is, an occasion to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Elsewhere in Ephesians 4, we are warned as Christians to give no opportunity to the devil, who is only too willing to destroy our reputation, to destroy our life. Life is not simply a matter of killing time and letting it slip through our fingers, but rather it's our God-given chance at every point to live our lives in the era of what we might call the Jesus opportunity. Many people claim to be busy, to be time poor. As you're in a dash to head off to the shops, as you're in a dash to do the taxi run for the kids, as you have to renovate the house or paint it or what have you, as you have to get to sport practice, as you have to get that particular deadline in. And that's all part of life. But in the end, all that busyness will be scrutinized in the light of what counts most in life. Because you see, it will be primarily in the things that are lost that you will question your use of time. Now, we had Luke 14 read to us earlier. And really, that particular passage is all about opportunity lost. It presents us there with the parable of the great banquet, in which all those who you would have expected to say yes to God by his invitation to come end up by saying no, by offering weak, insulting excuses. They had been specially invited by God to join in this wonderful messianic banquet. They had that opportunity, but none come. No, I can't come, for I have to go and check on the property. No, I can't come, since I've got to check on my livestock. No, I can't come, because I've got family responsibilities. And what happens? God gives up on them. And he goes to another lot. He goes to another group of people who, in the perspective of life, have no opportunities whatsoever. Really, that parable is about refuting Israel and going to the Gentiles and beyond. But in essence, even at a basic level, those who are to a select group, he invited them, they say no. And so as a result, they miss out. He goes to another group and they enter into the opportunity that God provides them. You see, there'll always be excuses. And they'll always, a lot of them will be justifiable, valid and that sort of stuff. But you really have to speak those to God, I think. I think there are a lot of times, you know, I have to say, when will I stop making insulting excuses to God? When he is saying all along, come, for all is now ready. By such a response in refusing a God-given opportunity for blessing, we end up, as it were, we might say, cursed, and we're shut out of the Messianic feast forever. And to others, the blessings will go. And then we wonder why we are missing out on things before him. Well, go figure, says Jesus. You can work that out. You figure it. It's obvious, isn't it? So, don't let the opportunity slip by. Don't defer. Second chance may never come. Life's too short. What are you waiting for? Never miss an opportunity before God. I think I missed an opportunity to share Christ with a particular person the other day. I just didn't do it. I probably wasn't sensitive enough to do it. And those things come up. I really need to repent of that. And so we might not want to do that because we think, oh, I'll be embarrassed, or there's other people around, I don't think I'll say anything, or whatever. There's all sorts of things, you know. But I say, but there was an opportunity that God presented. I'm saying, never miss an opportunity before God. Remember that ferry, if you're not on it, you'll be left behind and you'll be stranded. Give while you have the chance. Give of yourself, especially for those who are younger. You've got so much more time ahead of you, your whole life ahead of you, your parents will say, to make the most of the opportunities before. I'm not just talking about self, I'm talking about in terms of God-given opportunities. You have that. Some people become a Christian and that's pretty much it. They don't take on and they don't enter into deep, and they're not sensitive to God opportunities that come their way. They should be entering deeper into things, but they just stay perhaps at the same level. Give where you have the chance. Give of yourself. Don't be left in the land of lost opportunity and regrets of, oh, if only I, or what if, you know. Jesus often challenged people to listen. That is to say, he said, he who has ears to hear, or he might have said elsewhere, that listen to what the Spirit says. See, the Spirit will speak through the Word of God into our present moment, making known our present opportunity. But how well are you listening? I could have spoke about the popular parable of the sower. Parable of the sower is all about listening. It's all about those who listen poorly and those who listen well. The seven in Mark 4, for example, the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2-4 is all about listening. So personally and corporately, we need to tune in. Inadequate listening, inadequate hearing is about, in the ways in which Jesus described, he described it as being lack of perception and lack of understanding that arises because of hardness of heart that quenches the work of the Spirit being operative upon your own spirit. There have probably been many opportunities lost by us through poor reception of God's word, or as Jesus would say, hardness of heart. And it's enough to drive the observant to despair. And we need to repent of that. But thank God too that repentance enables further opportunities. God has a forgiving nature. He is long-suffering. He is forbearing. And he enables us to still enter into the possibilities in the land of the living, because that's where the possibilities are. They're not, when you're dead, that's it. No more after that. It's in the land of the living that the possibilities are. For with God, you see, everything is possible at every moment. So opportunity knocks. It's before each one of us for the greater service of the gospel and for the greater glory of God, who has spoken and in these last days has specifically spoken through his Son. So I might encourage us all as we embrace this new year to not to squander our time, to be sensitive to the God-given opportunities that he will present before each one of us, for you personally and also for you corporately as the body of Christ who meets week by week. And so I encourage you to take the opportunity that God provides and to go forward with him and his purposes to the greater glory and honour of his name. Amen.